You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is it's the end of the week. It is that day. It is Friday. That's a special sound effect. Hit it. The explosion followed by the crowd going mad. Friday. Congratulations. You have made it through another week. You are heading into the weekend. We're going to take you all the way to go home time. So, we're glad you're with us. We got a great day laid on for you, and the boomer is on the board. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm awesome.
Okay, how's the back?
Back is doing good. I'm walking with minimal pain.
And you're not grunting like an old man every 5 minutes.
I'm not grunting like an old man.
So all right, it's getting better.
I can go upstairs slowly.
That's right. Can't quite wrestle with the kids yet, but
no,
you can.
No. All right. Not yet.
All right.
And I haven't eaten any of that whatever meat that we were talking about yesterday.
We're going to talk about it more today,
I'm sure. Oh, boy. I'm sure.
All right. Hey, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. 3 o'clock today, Matt Clark, our friend Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. So over the last few days, today included, there have been a number of Supreme Court decisions handed down. How do they impact us? What do they do? And oh, by the way, did the Biden administration just get handed a victory on the southern border? We'll tell you all about it. So there's that. At 3 o'clock, Matt Clark, Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. 4 o'clock, Stephanie Smith. She calls in every Friday for the most part. But Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, we're going to be on to talk with her about some things happening around the state, not the least of which is that we have at least one, maybe two special sessions in the brewing right now of the state legislature. So we'll talk with Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute at 4 o'clock. And then I've got a triple dipper just full of stuff. So hit it, buddy.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. Number one, speaking truth to power. So that's what conservative talk has done for years, right? Rush Limbaugh really pioneered a lot of this. Marlon Maddox, a number of other great voices in conservative radio. But so we're starting to see a trend. Liberals are figuring out, you know what? We got to do something about this. We can't keep having those conservatives talking. I'll tell you how their plan is developing. Speaking truth to power, that's number one on the triple dipper. Number two, the SCOTUS Watch, in conjunction with my call with Matt Clark from the Center for Law and Liberty. We'll talk about the Supreme Court of the United States. What are they doing today? What are they coming up with? And what is left to be decided in the next couple of days? Because there's some major decisions that are still kind of hanging out there. I mean, things that might deal straight to religious liberty and affirmative action and the Biden's ability to wipe away student loan debt. All that is still pending, and we thought it was coming out today. But we'll talk with Matt Clark about SCOTUS Watch, number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, you know the deal. When I find a bunch of news that relates to Alabama, we got to talk about where we live. Well, I usually have a segment called Home Fries. Every once in a while in a week, I get a second helping. So this is Home Fries, second helping. Are you hitting the button on that? You got to go ahead. That is not fake meat sizzling either, by the way. Speaking of which, let me jump over here to my monologue. And I got to tell you, yesterday had to have been one of the funniest, most enjoyable hours of radio in the 2 years since Right Side Radio kicked off. The story that we brought up in the second hour about fake meat being cooked up in a lab, well, it literally consumed the third hour. It just went viral. But just in case you didn't get a chance to hear that one, and it was a good one, let me kick this off by rehashing it just a bit, because as of yesterday, there are now two companies that have been cleared by the Food and Drug Administration to sell what they refer to as cultivated meat. First of all, that just sounds awful. They couldn't think of a better name, but what we're talking about here is meat grown in a laboratory. Yes, grown. Production is said to be starting immediately, with the lab-grown meat being grown in a giant vat, kind of like a beer brewery. One of the companies named Good Meat said that it received approval without questions from the FDA. No questions at all. They advertise their products as meat without slaughter as a more humane approach to being a carnivore, I guess. So why would they do this? Is it more appetizing? No. Is it because we're in a famine and cannot graze our cattle or raise chickens? No. Could it be that there just aren't enough folks in beef, pork, and poultry industries to keep up with all the demand? Again, no. CNN reports that supporters of this new industry of fake meat are all in because it's better for the environment. Oh. So apparently, despite thousands and thousands of years of mankind herding grazing animals and raising chickens and slopping hogs, we have discovered that animals are bad because they emit greenhouse gases. In other words, animals pass gas. According to a 2017 study by the Natural Resources Defense Council, there really is one, a Natural Resources Defense Council, the beef industry is allegedly recognized as the most climate damaging of all the food groups. Supposedly, each kilogram of beef produces up to 26.5 kilograms of CO2 emissions. And they say that animal agriculture in general is responsible for 14.5% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions, of which 65% of that comes from beef and dairy cattle. In other words, this legitimate study spent no telling how much time and money measuring the amount of cow flatulence that could be produced and then driving us toward eating laboratory meat. Meat grown, yes, grown, in a vat like a fungus. Here's my suggestion. If you're scared of meat, don't eat it. If you want to eat fake meat, then don't pretend it's real meat. Just squeeze some of that lab-grown protein paste out of a tube and pretend you're happy, but don't look at the rest of us and portray it as being real fake meat because it's not. Does anyone else see the irony, though, in the fact that a liberal progressive solution to preserving nature is to develop a fake version of nature to preserve us? I mean, there's always a lesser form of existence with liberals, a fake version of that which God himself created that is offered by the left to fix all of our ills. It's just what they do. But as if Petri dish meat products were not enough, there's also the push to eat bugs. Bugs. Now, in survival mode, I can see eating grubs and crickets, but the average day in the life of a U.S. citizen does not include being in a survival mode. But yet world leaders and celebrities are suddenly all about eating insects as a main staple. Wow. Dutch activist Eva Vlaardingerbroek recently said in an interview that, here's her quote, "The push for insect eating is just a compliance test, because our politicians know that when they control the food, they control the people." And she went on to describe the situation in the Netherlands right now as one of those harbingers of bad things to come. Here's what she said. She described it this way. She said, "The fact that we, Netherlands, the second largest exporter of agricultural products in the world, our nation with such a rich farming history, is now cracking down on its farms and opening up insect factories should be of no surprise. This is not something that's going to affect the food supply of the Netherlands." She said, "Like I said, we're the second largest exporter of ag products in the world after America, so this will influence the food supply worldwide. And we've spoken to farmers who said, well, this could lead to actual starvation if we're not careful." It's amazing. And she's not wrong, by the way. And once again, so-called global leaders are championing the idea of eating bugs as a means to, wait for it, combat climate change. As you might expect, the World Economic Forum, that group of highbrow bond villains that meet in Davos, Switzerland to decide all of our fates every year, the World Economic Forum has weighed in. And as you might fully expect, they support the idea of eating bugs as a main staple. Because in their words, on their website, they say that the Earth will not be able to produce enough protein to sustain the world population by the year 2050. The United Nations has, of course, weighed in on this crisis by claiming that their studies indicate that an ever-growing population of the world is expected to reach 9.1 billion by the year 2050, but that agriculture is one of the biggest drivers of natural destruction, threatening 86% of the 28,000 species at risk of extinction. 28,000 different species are now at risk of extinction? So the UN Special Envoy, though, for the 2021 Food Systems Summit, there you go, says that farming insects is the way to go. In her words, she said, "Farming insects could provide an elegant solution to the intertwined crises of climate change, biodiversity loss, hunger, and malnutrition." An elegant solution to the intertwined crises. Who talks like that? But according to a research piece put out by Time magazine, the actual solution when it comes to insects is cricket powder. You heard me. Cricket powder. Crickets are said to be filled with protein and minerals. I watched a video on this. And if you run them through a mulcher and you spread them out in a gray paste on a pan, and then you bake the paste for a bit and then grind that into powder, you get cricket powder, which you can sprinkle on your cereal, ladle into your soup, and generally speaking, you can save the planet and solve world hunger. Well, that's innovative, but it's still cricket powder. Look, here's the deal, y'all. The world is ours to steward. That is absolutely true. We steward it because it's not in charge. We are. Liberal progressives are determined, though, that you and I should kneel to the earth, and in order to preserve it, that we should eat fake meat and bugs. I'm curious if they find actual hope in that. Is it their contention that that fake version of meat and the eating of bugs is designed to help the people of the world, the actual people, to thrive or just to survive? I mean, nothing that is created is ever the same as the natural solution that is right in front of us. Nothing that is meant to be stewarded is ever meant to be set aside in favor of letting ourselves be subjected to a second-class status in favor of that which we're supposed to be in charge of. It's a loss of balance. It's a skewed set of priorities. Nothing about that set of notions is really new, to be honest. What I just described to you could just as easily fit into Paul's description in his advice to the Romans when he said in the opening of his letter, "Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools." And Paul went on to say, "They had exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the created over the Creator." So you name the agenda. You name your liberal cause. I will show you a fake version of life as their proposed version of true living. Transgenderism, that's fake people. Fiscal policy, that's fake money. Social safety nets, that's fake incomes with fake responsibilities. Climate change, that's fake meat. Being a good steward of the earth does not mean relegating ourselves to a fake version of life. It just means doing what we do with excellence and care. And I personally plan to eat a real beefsteak sometime soon. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Fake meat. Cricket powder. I watched a video on the cricket powder. It did not get any better watching the video. It's as nasty as it sounds. You wind up with a bag of gray powder, and you sprinkle it over your food, and you call it good. No, I'm pretty sure it ain't going to happen at the Williams house. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. My wife, the lovely Charlene, just texted me. She says this to me regularly whenever I talk about climate change or these other agenda items on the liberal side. She goes, "It's not about that. It's about control." She's not wrong.
No, she's not wrong.
She's not wrong at all. So now we got fake meat and cricket powder.
Well, yeah, fake meat, cricket powder. It reminds me of like a remember the movie The Matrix, all the Matrix the trilogies and stuff. Well, on that The Matrix, you know how they ate that goo on one of the
ships?
When
they were on the ships.
Yeah. So I just
looked
it up.
It looked like a soft serve ice cream machine. They were pumping stuff out of. Oh.
And in this little forum, it says the Matrix crew of the Nebuchadnezzar was shown consuming a singularly unappetizing gruel that one member described it as a bowl of snot.
So it was a bowl of cricket powder. Yeah,
that's basically what it was, I guess.
Oh, God. Oh, my word. Hey, text lines are open, by the way. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text lines just burned up yesterday. Like, I mean, they had to cool down overnight, I'm pretty sure. But we got several of y'all already texting in. And then John from Huntsville just texted in. So he says, Phil, I heard you on this morning on the Dale Jackson Show earning some early extra credit points. I didn't even know that that Phil Williams got out of bed. That, man, I'm up at like 4:30 in the morning, dude.
Super early.
He says, by the way, I'm fairly confident you can beat Dale in a head-to-head cage fight match, but if it was street fighting, Dale might throw some extra shenanigans at you. So the storyline this morning, I get a text from Dale at like 6:40. He says, hey, we've been talking about this whole notion of whether or not Elon Musk would do a cage match with Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook. And he said, and then one of my listeners said they'd rather see a cage match with Phil Williams and Dale Jackson. He said, you got to call in right now. So at 6:40 or 6:30 or whatever it was, I called him in. And he says, he goes, well, so what do you think about this? I don't know if I want to get up here against you. I don't know if we want to do that or not. And I said, two men enter, one man leaves.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Anyway, but I just put it on Twitter a few minutes ago, right before the show started. Dale said something about that, and I said, I heard you're a hair puller and a biter, so I don't know if I want to get in that ring or not. Anyway, Tony from Piedmont says, I like eating smoked sturgeon myself, though they look like a dinosaur fish. Well, that's true, and it's real, though. Here's the thing, though, Tony. That's real. That's real fish. But give it time. In fact, you know what? I heard an interview this morning. It's not just fake chicken. It's not just fake beef. They're growing fake lobster.
What? They're trying to grow everything.
I wonder, do you still have shellfish allergies with fake lobster?
Ooh.
You try it.
Yeah, who's going to try that?
I don't know. Somebody with a big wad of Benadryl in their hand, I guess. Daryl from Tony, Alabama says, Colonel, that was excellent. Thank you. I appreciate that, Daryl. JT from Lacey Springs, cricket powder. Year 2045. Crickets found to fart more than cows. However, bovines are now endangered or extinct species. I guarantee you, if they discover that crickets make methane, they're going to shut down the cricket farms.
They are.
Just
no more
shut
cricket,
her down.
No more cricket farms.
And by the way, JT also says, the latter part of yesterday's show was priceless. How many show hosts allow their show to be hijacked? Shanghaied, taken over by an army of listeners. It's true, man. There's not many shows that will just say, ollie ollie income free. Let's get her done. What else we got in here real quick before we go to the break? Scott from Russellville, need to get rid of climate change activists. Hot air would go a long way to make need to get rid of hot air. I can't read it. Need to get rid of climate change activist hot air. It would go a long way to making life better. I'll keep my stakes. I'm with you, Scott. Mm. Tom from Tanner. My cow identifies as a tree. Will the environmental Nazis leave us alone now? Gray Falcon from Ardmore. Soylent Green is people. Yes, sir. We heard that one several times yesterday, too. Brian from Huntsville, they should test our CO2 and methane emissions after a Taco Bell binge night. Yes, Taco Bell is being shut down. I feel certain. Somewhere in there. And then Juan from Newmarket. Where are we at with Juan? He sent me something like a meme or something. Let me see if I can get it to open. It won't open. Juan, you are memeless, brother. Here it is. He's talking about Kevin McCarthy, but it's longer than I can read before the break because the music's playing.
Music is playing.
All right, listen, we're jumping right into the Triple Dipper when we get back. Y'all quit trying to Shanghai my show. Dustin from Hazel Green. We need some Black Rifle cricket powder.
Black Rifle cricket powder.
And Steve from Huntsville says, there's something to think about eating insects. People with shellfish allergies can also have the same allergy from eating the insects in a smaller family species.
Ooh.
Take me to a break, for I'm overwhelmed.
We're going.
All right, we'll be right back.